following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Oh, goodness. Going through social media here. You know how it goes. Social media is such a, strange beast as I'm logging into one of my many accounts. Although I can't keep up with all the new bits that are out there. I mean, social media being what it is. Was it just not long ago, Google Plus lost the guy that was head of their development. He basically said, enough. I'm out of here. Y'all be sweet. Because, you know, I guess Google's going to have a hell of a time trying to deal with, you know, with the big monster in the room, of course, which is Facebook, Zuckerberg's deal. And, you know, when you go through it, you know, it's so funny because I think we all invest so much brain power into the thing. We're all concerned about what we are doing. Taking pictures of ourselves. We don't. It's odd because we place the emphasis on being social on a very different level. There's this thing that I think it goes to a lot of people's heads that we post something in hopes that somebody's going to pick it up and share it, and there's that whole tantalizing bit of virality, if you will, being a viral picture, a viral post, a viral video. For whatever reason we want, I guess it's just, you know, that's just the way it goes. And then, you know, of course, we like to talk about ourselves quite a bit, and some of us out there are rather vague about it, which gave rise to the whole thing of vague booking. But it's amusing. I was watching a movie the other night, fantastic film. I've seen it a number of times. I mean, it's got its points. Robert Zemeckis directed it. A film called Contact with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey, and Tom Skerritt is in the film. Interesting. Gary Busey's kid is in it. I think it's the only thing he's done of note. It's not like I get out much and see different films, but I mean, this film is good. I mean, it's got some pretty implausible stuff going on. I mean, after all, Jodie Foster naked with Matthew McConaughey does come to mind as being somewhat implausible. However, Matthew McConaughey is a guy that can that could pull that off fairly well. So at any rate, if you've not seen it, it does center around the idea that a distant civilization has reached out to the world Earth, and they want to get together and hook up for a cup of coffee. So they send plans to spoiler alert, it was made in 1997, calm down. They send plans to us Earthlings, and then we have to go see them. And here's the thing. It brings to mind various thoughts of what it must be like on a governmental standpoint to deal with such information. If it just literally came, you know, there's a whole point there about, you know, words coming from the sky. I mean, there's this whole religious implication of it, and the idea of what happens, what on earth must happen when we meet another civilization, and how people will react here on Earth, how those people will react in another civilization, and you go from there. And who is it that you send? Who's the one that gets to be the first one to talk to the aliens? And of course, in the movie, spoiler alert, Jodie Foster ultimately gets to go. And it's weird because she winds up hanging out with her dad. Spoiler alert, he's dead. Any rate, it is a good film. I recommend it. If you haven't seen it in a while, it's good. If you haven't, I haven't really spoiled the whole thing for you. But it's a long movie too. There's a lot going on in it. But it's interesting because it makes you wonder about the idea of life out there outside of our own little world here. You know, Earth is not that big of a planet. It's getting smaller all the time. We're having enough of an issue dealing with ourselves. Imagine what it must be like for, you know, all right, now we're going to deal with a new civilization, which really wouldn't be a bad idea. But you have to wonder if there are civilizations out there that look at us. And of course, they judge us. They have to. You know, my school of thought is that there's really three types of civilizations, three types of life outside of the universe, outside of Earth, I should say, in the universe, which I do believe there is. Yeah, judge all you want to. But here's the thing. There's either there's life that is, for lack of a better term, beneath us, that have not risen to the sophistication that we have now. Then there is life like us, which are pretty much in the same boat, where we can barely tolerate each other. And then there's life more advanced than us. And I think that's the basic three types of life that you will find in the universe today. I think we can all agree that's a fairly decent, plausible theory. Now, the movie Contact, of course, goes into this whole thing about, well, you know, they're sending us plans. It's opening up some doorway to let the monsters come and take over the Earth. Well, and that's just it. I mean, is that always going to be the case? And you know, they have to know what they're getting into. If you think of along the point of an alien civilization that is perhaps more advanced than us, but we've progressed to a certain level. Dare I say we have evolved to a certain level that makes them think that this would be a good time for us to reach out to them and say, hey, yo, what's up? You're not the only ones out here. The Earth is a noisy place. I mean, there's all sort of, we just ooze electromagnetic radiation, and it does go out into space. And they do have that part of the film correct in that aspect. But here's what it is. We used to joke when we were younger. We were kids before this internet thing happened, was that if aliens, and I think several movies have been made around this topic, comedic as they may be, what if aliens had been monitoring the Earth and they judged us and their only knowledge of us as a civilization was based off of what was being consumed on television? And when you look at the Earth back in those days, when there was really only, you know, four channels, five channels for most part, the pickings were pretty slim. So it did. We looked pretty ridiculous in those days. Or did we? Because now with the social media, let's just assume for a moment that it's a civilization more advanced than us has access to the internet and can see what's going on, which is not implausible. I mean, they could certainly figure that out. If they figured out how to travel 20 light years away, they would certainly figure out how they could listen to us and look at what we are doing. And the idea, I think it's still a valid question. What would another civilization, alien that it may be, think about us as, you know, as humans, as earthlings? Is what are we doing? What are we preoccupied with? Who are we? What is it that we are? So they want to eavesdrop and they hop onto Facebook. and this is what we're being judged by. I mean, let's you know, yeah, this is a hypothetical situation. If anybody's, you know, panicking, no, this isn't happening. But if it were to happen, if we were being judged in our society by what occurs in social media, and it's based in frequency of whatever topic that may be, I think I would be a little concerned as far as what may happen to us. They may not want to bother with us, or they may want to say, hey, these people are easily distracted. I think we can just go on ahead and take them over. When you consider these things and you look at social media, which is where we all are gathering, not all of us, but most of us are gathering, and you just go through your Facebook posts, your news feed, and just scan it and just, you know, don't focus on one particular thing, but just kind of look through it and see what people are talking about. Try and look at it as a complete stranger. It's easy for me to do that because most of my friends on Facebook are complete strangers. They've friended me for whatever reason, but it is interesting that I feel as though I've been brought into communications with people that I didn't necessarily want to be involved with in the first place, but which is part of the thing with social media. Some of you ladies need to learn to, you know, expand a little bit on why you're so pissed off. That helps instead of just going, oh, my day is horrible. FML, which I learned means fuck my life. And the point being that, now all of a sudden, all these people are jumping in and going, oh, baby, what's going on? They're looking for attention, you know, whatever the case may be. And now, but see, here's the thing. if I'm a friend of yours and if I follow you on Facebook for whatever reason, because you asked to, and I'm seeing this, and what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to react to that? How am I supposed to feel about it? A lot of folks like to, most everybody talk about themselves. I do it. We all do it. And I guess we find that if we share what our own personal experiences with others, that either we're looking for some type of validation or attention out of the thing, that could very well be. But imagine being a quasi-curious third party that is looking at this, and they have the ability to understand our language and look at this. And I think they would see that. They would, of course, see that, yes, there's heavy news out there. You know, the world's coming apart at the seams in various places, as it's done time and time again. You know, civilizations are arguing with other civilizations. One religion faction is arguing with another religious faction, and there's people dying left and right, and there's buildings on fire, and there's bombings, and people are blowing themselves up, and et cetera, the usual fare that goes with some type of warlike activity, like, you know, terrorism. But that's not the primary thought on everyone's head. We always consume these things sort of in passing, which is kind of odd. You know, human beings being destructive to each other, Ebola, when it was such a big deal, it was a raising of its ugly head. It happens from time to time. It was this big outbreak in Western Africa. Yes, it's still going on, but it's not as bad. They have managed to, you know, slow it down somewhat. But even in its height, there wasn't that much about it. It just kind of flittered in and out, and it was like, okay, well, it wasn't going to be an issue here in the States. I think we felt that we were fairly well removed from it, even though they were bringing Ebola patients into the U.S. But look what was happening. They were being treated, and for the most part, we're surviving fairly well. But it creates this little bit of a panic. It's a little ripple, you know, a little ripple in the time, if you will, and then it goes away, because now all of a sudden we're distracted. We become heavily distracted, because in the midst of all of the things that are happening in the world that are not good, you know, crime, death, destruction, and it weighs on us. And I think we as a species don't like to be around it for too terribly long, because that's why we have cat videos. And they're everywhere. And it's as if we have discovered that these aliens would probably be sitting there going, wow, these creatures have been living amongst them for so many years, and they've just now discovered the fact that they're quite entertaining, because they're doing what cats do. So these people are now sharing all this with each other as though, look how new this is, because that's what we do. Somebody gets something new, they immediately want to share that information with somebody. Social media is a prime example of it. Oh, right around the holidays, look what I got for Christmas. Look what I got for my birthday. They're proud of these things. And I guess we're that way with cats. Oh, take a look at what my cat does. Cats do goofy shit. That's what cats, that's their job. They don't have any other point than to, you know, amuse you. Actually, they're amusing themselves. You're just sort of an audience, participant at that point. They don't understand cameras. They don't understand all of that stuff. They don't care. They don't have social media, although apparently there is a cat that runs a Twitter page that is now following me on Twitter. I don't know. Congratulations. But I digress. They look at us, not the cats, the people, the civilizations outside of us. They must look at us and think that we are just really a self-centered group of people. No wonder our world is falling apart. You know, there's been all of this, you know, horrifying acts of violence and destruction. But in the meantime, there's a picture of a woman with big boobs, and everybody stops. And we do. So I'm going through my news feed, and that's exactly what I saw. Or here's another favorite. Here's what I'm having for dinner. But the point being, you know, it's like it's odd. We take pictures of, like, in this particular case, looks like a couple of pork chops laying on a grill. Nice big Sunday dinner about to happen for somebody. And that's great. That's wonderful. But at the same time, you give yourself pause and realize that in other parts of the world, there are people that would give their last possession to have a bite of that, you know, because there's so much famine and poverty out there too. You know, it's just funny. We have these isolated little bubbles of that's what social media is. We get encompassed into these little bubbles, it seems. And there we are. We're not necessarily connected to too many other people, although we really kind of are. You know, the old joke about 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon is very true. There's a lot to that. But yeah, what did these other societies think of us? If all they had to make their decision about us and, you know, their understanding of us was through social media. It's a nerve-wracking thought. It really is. The Egyptians, a prime example. I mean, that civilization, you know, 8,000 years before Christ was a massive civilization. They've been around a long, long time. And, you know, they even knew the power of the cat because the cats show up in their hieroglyphics all the time. And the cats were considered to be like some type of royal thing. You know, it was nice to have cats around. They understood it helped keep the mice away. And that's all well and good. But, you know, the point being is that even the Egyptians knew the power of the cat. And here we are, you know, some 10,000 years later, and there's cat videos. There's a part of me that believes that this other civilization out there that could be watching us, which you never know, they could very well be, they are probably thinking that we worship these creatures. Maybe they do. And maybe there, to a certain extent, I think some of us do worship these cats. I got distracted here, as social media does, because there are these, you know, the e-card thing, the cutesy little sayings, the self-affirmation things. We must look like we are people that have no self-esteem, no goals in life. Aside from, you know, looking at my cat. Here's a picture of my dog, because you can't leave the dogs out, because the dog lovers are going, all right, you cat people have had enough, because here's a picture of my dog. And dogs just are doing their thing. And, of course, this is the new thing now, goats. You know, goats are everywhere. They're trying to be the new cat thing, because, you know, people seem to be getting tired of cat videos. So here's a goat video. The problem with goat videos is goats are pretty much doing the same thing. And if you're not, you know, videotaping them when they're very young, I'm talking about the goats, of course. If, you know, an adult goat is not going to be too terribly exciting. It may make a funny noise every once in a while, or it might do something. But the point is that cute little baby goats are cute, and then once you've seen them, you've seen them. However, a cat, there's so much that goes on about that, because a cat can be, in essence, you know, and they are complete assholes. And when somebody documents that when you have video evidence, you're still somewhat convinced that they're all assholes until you look at your own cat and you go, oh, that's my cat. He's fine. He's not an asshole. No, not too much longer. Somebody else would say, hey, my cat's an asshole too. Oh, and this whole thing, this is another thing that kind of gets at me too, is that it's some sort of a competition to find out who's more crazy than the next. And it usually comes in one of those self-affirmation things, is that they have to say things like, oh, I'm like insane and crazy, and if you want to hang with me, you've got to be, you know, you've got to be crazy too, and oh my God, oh, look out, world, it's going to be trouble. And no, it's not like that at all. It really isn't. I just have to look at the way people must, another civilization would look at us. I this is troubling to me. This bothers me a little bit, because if somebody did, if this group of aliens did for a moment think that perhaps we were troublesome, even though it would look like this, it would be, well, they worship cats, and even though they destroy each other for the most part, they don't really talk about that. They kind of turn a blind eye to this, but they have their own opinions, and they all like to blame this guy named Obama or Bush. It depends on what side of the tracks that you're standing on. And then, you know, meanwhile, they're showing goats, and they're lesser creatures are the ones that they worship. That is their leader, actually. You know, they would think that this was important. That, and they really like looking at naked women a lot, doing a lot of things, which we don't understand. That's what this report would sound like to the underling who was in charge of spending time focusing on the world's social media. Because, look, I haven't spent much time in any other country and looked at their social media, but I can only imagine it's not much different than what we as Americans see all the time. It's just the way that goes. It's kind of hard to quantify the fact that we as a civilization have placed so much stock in our own lives. And then we bitch, of course, about privacy. I got to get that in there, because that argument would also happen. You know, that would be in the report from the underling who had spent all the time studying the world's social media. They go, well, they're all worried about who knows what about each other, but they won't shut up about talking about themselves. And then they complain about that. We must be a complete confusing conundrum to other civilizations, which could be what's really kind of doing us in, because there may be a group of aliens that have traveled a long way to get here, and they have figured everything out, and they know how to solve a famine, they know how to solve world peace, they know how to cure all these diseases, they know how to give people a good quality of life, and they know how to, you know, make people happy and well, and they're about to impart this knowledge onto us, because we just seem like every 5 seconds we're on the verge of destroying everything that we have and destroying everything that we are. We're just that close. Every time we take ourselves to the brink of disaster, we somehow manage to pull ourselves back. But how's that luck going to hold out? That's the question. So the civilization is probably sitting there going, well, we could really help these people. But I don't know that they would even notice that we would arrive. And I bet you that's what they would think. Let them go and let them do their own thing. Because what will ultimately happen is they will destroy themselves. That's what I think is what they're thinking is. They're going to sit there amongst themselves and have this discussion around their big round table in their corporate offices of, you know, Vega 9. And decide that we as humans, as Terrans, as they would probably call us, are so absorbed with our own lives that we've never noticed that the real positive change could have happened. And I see that a lot. I do see that. I see people who are hurting. I see people that are stressed out. I see people that are freaked out, and they turn to social media and they're reaching out for a friend, quote unquote friend. They're reaching out for somebody to show them some sort of attention to take them away from their pains and their problems. And they are so focused on that very thing that they oversee the fact that it already does exist, that there are people out there that do care. And they do turn away from social media sometimes, and they reach out and they give somebody that relief that they're looking for. It's there. But we all have to stop and take a moment and look at it. I'm not being preachy. I'm just telling you, imagine just for a moment what it must be like for an alien civilization to judge us based on our social media. It's an interesting thought. Some of the stuff I see out there is absolutely hilarious. All y'all bitching about ain't got no money and ain't got nothing and I'm poor and I'm hurting, but by God, come Friday, Lord have mercy, we're going to tear it up, and where are you coming up with the money for that? You know, it's some of that funny stuff is, you know. It's, I don't, you know, if we are truly being judged through our social media, we're fucked. We really are. We really are, because there are so many things that are happening in this world, and that's just it. Once we find that there is something bad that has happened, we don't do anything to correct these things. Well, the first thing we do is lay blame at someone's feet. Well, this is your fault this happened, or this is so and so's fault that this happened, or this is that person's fault this happened. Instead of pointing fingers, if perhaps we could just take a moment to figure out a way to solve the problem. And, you know, this ISIS thing is a prime example. This is a bad group of people. And at the same time that we found out that Boko Haram is now signed on to their newsletter, if you will, and they said, hey, we're on your side too. So, oh my God, they're in these smaller areas of Nigeria and smaller parts of Africa, and now they've joined up with this Islamic State there in the Middle East, and oh my God, it's going to be a problem. This is so-and-so's fault. This should not have happened because this person allowed that to happen. We should have done this when we were there, you know, that kind of thing. Stop it. It's not going to do anybody any good if that's all we have to argue about. What we should be arguing about is why this is, not why this is happening, but how we should stop it. What do we do? Point fingers later, after the fact. What do we do as a society to keep these things from ever happening again? That was the whole point at the end of the Second World War, when Truman ordered the military to go in to those concentration camps in Europe and take film footage of what all had happened, because he knew then that there would be people who would deny this would ever have occurred, that the Holocaust did not exist. And it's funny to me because there's a lot of people out there who still think that way, even though we have all this proof of it. They're survivors of it, for God's sake. But they're not going to be argued with. They're not going to be trifled with, because no matter what you say, you're still going to be wrong. It's the old conspiracy theory thing. No matter what you say, can be twisted around. Well, that just turned a weird, dark turn, didn't it? Not necessarily the case. Really, the bottom line is, here we are on the verge of destroying ourselves at every given second, and meanwhile, here's a cat video.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Like the multi-level marketing stuff, the MLM stuff that gets just shoved around on social media, Facebook specifically, because some people just don't shut up about it. The old adage is, if the food has to be advertised, it doesn't need to be eaten. Probably a good point, because if you think about it, I don't know of any commercials out there that advertise broccoli. If your only existence on social media is to hawk some, you know, diet thing, you're not going to have too many friends. My personal opinion, no, I think the place is horrible. I don't like the way they treat their people. I don't like the way that they treat their customers. I don't particularly care for the crap that they sell. It's cheap. Because a dog is either, he's going to answer you in either a yes or a no. He's not going to go, eh.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
Speaking of distractions, what I wouldn't give to have that dress. Oh my God, was it gold and white or blue and black? It all depended on the light that it was in. And that little bit of internet minutia really consumed everybody. For like, I don't know, 48 hours, which is a good run for any type of virality. I mean, because if you think about it, most things that you post in social media has a lifespan of usually about 12 to 36 hours, somewhere in there, usually closer to 24 hours, depending on what it is. And then sometimes it goes a little bit longer, and then after a while it peaks, and then it dies off. The news cycle, of course, being a 24-hour news cycle is one thing, but I think you can even cut it down even further than that. I think it's not necessarily a 24-hour news cycle so more as it is a minute-to-minute news cycle, because things just change so quickly. And people's attentions go from one thing to another too quickly. And it's not, you know, they go, well, it's ADD. We all have ADD. Oh, shut up. We all have a short attention span because we've been exposed to so many things happening at one time that we have to have a short attention span. Computers have really brought that onto us. It really have. I mean, imagine what it must be like to leave your phone at home and drive off for the day, and knowing that you're not going to have it, and knowing that you're going to be away from it. We've all done it, but it's an uncomfortable feeling, because we now all of a sudden we feel disconnected from everything. Oh my God, I'm going to miss something. What the hell are you going to miss? I spent about a week not even looking at Facebook. And when I got back, there was that point I was thinking, oh my God, I must be missing something. And when I went back through that day's feed, when I finally did get back on there, I found that I really had missed nothing aside from the cat and the shark costume riding the Roomba around. But that's just it. It's out there. It can always be found. It doesn't go away. So it may not be such a bad idea for all of us to be disconnected every once in a while, don't you think? That is the case. That is the case. All right, my friends, that's going to do it for this this go around. I appreciate you spending your time listening to this podcast. I know sometimes it's a little different than what other times are. I like to comment on what I see sometimes, and perhaps you and I share those same opinions, and that's great. If not, that's fine too. There's nothing wrong with that. I appreciate you taking your time to do so. And if you're new to the podcast, you can find it in various locations, various directories. We're in the Blueberry area. We're also in the player.fm. Stitcher also has us. If you have the app for TuneIn, which a lot of you do, it has a bunch of radio stations, internet stations, and has a bunch of podcasts in there. You can find it there, and you can subscribe that way as well, especially if you're on an Android device. For those of you that are on Apple devices, iTunes, of course, you can find the show there. Just search my name. Rick Cheddar from Radioland is the name of the show. And appreciate your subscribing and having fun with it. It's a good thing. And I want to tell you something, too, before I get out of here. A little interesting note. I got an email just the other day from one of the directories that was offering an advertisement thing through various podcasts. And I'm not going to tell you who or what. It was a bed. Let's put it that way. It's not the one you're thinking of. And they said that they would offer me X number of dollars per whatever. But I had to take the bed, which means I had to throw my old bed out. I get to keep the bed, I think. No, I didn't. I got to keep the bed if I generated so many numbers of sales for them. If I didn't, then I'd have to return the bed or buy the bed from them or whatever the case may be. And then I had to physically move the podcast from one directory to another permanently, and it was all these loopholes. And it's like, and they were talking about using this as a way for me to sell them their product. And it's like, wow, you're putting a lot of restrictions on something about telling people about your bed. Frankly, I like my bed just the way it is, and I'm not going to get rid of my bed so I could sit here and be. Look, I guess being a whore has its limits because, frankly, if you are in this business, if you are in some type of entertainment business, you know right out you're a whore. That's all there is to it. Some of us are more obvious about it than others. Look at take Nickelback, for example. Their new tune, complete whorish activity, and it's a brutal song. Even their own fans, their diehard fans that have stuck with them through thick and thin, have finally turned their backs on them and said, my God, you've all become whores. Yeah, that's what you do. But I do have my limits when it comes to whoring it out. I'll let you figure that out. And it does not involve me throwing out my bed. Yeah, whores and beds, man. Who'd have thought? All right, that's it. We're done. You've heard what's coming up next time. I'm Rick Cheddar. This has been From Radioland.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.